Like I said, we're busy with a series called Being. God calls us to be with Him. Like it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and He appointed 12 whom He also called apostles so that they might be with Him. And Jesus calls us not to do stuff for Him. He didn't choose 12 to teach them stuff and leave them. But primarily, He called 12 people to be with Him, to spend time with Him, to be in their presence. I think it's one of the things that we so often as Christians find so hard. We love to do stuff for God. We love to perform for God, but God actually doesn't, He's not interested in that. He's interested in us being with Him. So that's what this series is about. Like I said last time, I love the saying, it says, we're not human doings, we're human beings. We're called to be. Scripture throughout says, be witnesses. It's not something that you do, that you just tick off. It says, be holy, for God is holy. It says, be full of the Holy Spirit. So it's a places of being and not doing. So often, and this is just out of my personal life, I often get into a tick box Christianity. You know, I need to do this. I need to do my quiet time. I need to do some witnessing. And then God will accept me, or God will be happy with me. And it's not like that at all. God wants us to in essence, be with Him and be the life that He's given us and live it from that place. And this evening, we're going to specifically focus on one of the things that when we are in that place with God, He strengthens us. And He sends us out strong from that place. If you think of the disciples, the 12 disciples, they were ordinary people. In fact, like Fred said at the conference, some of them were outcasts. Actually, the whole group, they were outcast people. They weren't skilled. They weren't educated. They were, in the eyes of the world, weak. But yet Jesus, they spent 3 years with Jesus. They were with Him. And then after that, you see a totally transformed group of people. You see Peter standing up. He was the traitor, the one that denied Jesus. He didn't have any courage. But then he stood up after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 came to Christ. As he, out of that place of strength, started seeing great things happen. But I want you to look at not one of the 12, but another guy called Stephen. In fact, he wasn't one of the apostles. And this is one of the beautiful things with God and in Scripture, that one of the guys, he wasn't with Jesus like the other 12, but he had the same place. He could do the same things. In fact, in Acts chapter 6, the attention focuses off the apostles, and it focuses on this guy, Stephen, who then we know the story becomes a martyr. He dies for his faith, and then lots of people came to salvation because of his death and his giving his life. But look at what it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. I don't think there's one of us in this room that says we would not want to have that description next to our name. He was full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, Stephen did this out of a place of being. He was comfortable, not just with God, but with himself and in himself in God. And it says great wonders and signs were done among the people. But there's two words that it says. He was full of grace and full of power. The word grace there, the Greek word, is the word charis, which is where we get our word charismatic from, or the gifts, the charismatic gifts. Now, that's actually interesting. If you think the word grace is charis, the word gift is charismata. So it's the grace gifts, the gifts that has been given to us. But that word charis means a divine influence on the heart. That charis, a divine influence on the heart. The second word there is the word power, which in the Greek is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. It means great strength, force, might. So if you put the two together, grace and power, he was full of grace and power, then it means that the divine influence on his heart caused great strength. That made him do great signs and wonders, and people could look at God and see God and be transformed by God. So that was operating in his life. And I want to just quickly run us through, because there's two types of strengths. There's the process of strength, and then there's the yielding to strength. So let's quickly talk about natural strength. If you're an athlete, then and you want to become strong, you want to become good at, say you're a sprinter. Kathleen will definitely agree. Maybe you must come up and explain to us. But if you want to become strong as a sprinter, then you need to build strength. So if you're a sprinter, you need to go and do some endurance running. Say you're going to the Olympic Games. Say Kathleen is your coach and she's taking you to the Olympics. Then you need to train, but you need to train different ways. You need to, do some long distance running to build endurance. You need to do some exercises to get out of the blocks quickly. You need to train, and over 4 years, you've built strength so that on that day, you're ready. Now, that is the process of strength, and it's the same in the spiritual. We build strength. But then, like I said, there's the yielding to strength. So in the spiritual, we build strength, but then there's a yielding to strength. That's when we come to God and we say, God, I need strength. I'm tired. I'm weak. I just need to be refreshed in you. That's when we come in worship like we just did. We say, God, come and strengthen me. But you know what? That yielding to strength doesn't mean a lot if you haven't gone through the process of strength. Does that make sense? It's sort of like that sprinter, when before he runs, he takes a Red Bull. He drinks an energy drink. You know, that energy drink is not going to help him much if he hasn't gone through the process of strength. Does that make sense? And then the spiritual, the same. Okay? So there's a strength that God builds with the disciples. It took him 3 years to build in them strength. And then they could come and be refreshed in the Holy Spirit often. Right? And that training, like I said, you know, the sprinting, the endurance, and that's called nurturing. Nurturing your body, strengthening your body. But in the same, you need to nurture your spirit. Strengthen your spirit. Build up. The Bible says, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up. You're strengthening yourself. Now, the difference between natural strength and spiritual strength is spiritual strength, physical strength, if you're strong, if you've exercised, that doesn't necessarily influence your spirit. But if you're spiritually strong, it influences your spirit, it influences your soul, and it influences your physical body. Because God had created us to primarily be spiritual beings. So if your spirit is strong, actually the scripture says, bodily exercise is of some profit. In other words, there's some good to it. But then it says, training in godliness is profitable for all things. So when you're spiritually strong, it affects your whole life, body, soul, and spirit. It affects all parts. And that's why we need to train ourselves spiritually. If you've maybe gone on a mission, or you've done a lot of ministry or worship or whatever it might be, and then afterwards you're like really tired. Who's gone through that experience? Okay. Now, you'd agree with me that when you're tired spiritually, that's the worst tired you can get. That's the worst exhaustment you can get. You can be tired physically, you can be tired emotionally, but if you're spiritually tired, that's the worst. And even if you're tired in your body or you're tired in your emotions, if your spirit is still strong, then you can pick yourself up and you can go on. I'm getting a lot of this. Great that people are agreeing. That's great that you are preaching with me. So that's awesome. So God wants us to be spiritually strong. And I'm sure if I ask the question, I'm sure all of us would say, I want to be strong. Actually, strength means the ability, the capacity to resist great force or pressure. So we want to be in this life and we want to be effective for God and effective in our careers, effective in whatever area of our lives. And to be that, we need to be strong. All right? We need to have strength to run the race, like Scripture says, with endurance. So God wants to give us strength. And Kathleen is so excited now. We used the right analogies today. Okay. Three things we need strength for as Christians. I'm sure there's more, but I just highlighted three things there for us that we need strength for. The first one is we need strength for conquest, claiming our inheritance. So God has placed us in this world to be effective in this world, to gain territory. The Bible says this whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The suffering, the darkness, the destruction, the wars, everything we see in this world is because of the fact that, in a sense, the control of this world is out of God's hands. It's in the hands of the prince of this world, right? So we come into this world to claim back to God what belongs to God. That's our task. So we come to take our inheritance. Every one of us has an inheritance, and corporately, collectively, we have an inheritance. But an inheritance doesn't come easily. It doesn't just come in a spiritual sense. It's something that you and I need to fight for. Because the prince of this darkness, our enemy, he wants to steal it from us before we can get it. Right? So we need to claim it. And there's a beautiful picture in Scripture, Old Testament, the Jews coming from Egypt. And God says, listen, I'm giving you a promise. There's a promised land and it's ahead of you. I'm going to give it to you. And when they get to the borders of the Jordan, God says, you know, okay, but now I want you to take your inheritance. Go and fight for inheritance. Then we see in Deuteronomy 7:22, something very interesting here. God says to Joshua and to the Israelites, he says, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be able to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the fields become too numerous for you. It's a very interesting scripture here. God says he's not going to do it all at once, but he's going to give it to you little by little. Because if he gives it to you all at once, your strength is not going to be enough to sustain what you have. That's why, you know, God gives us always these great promises. He says you're going to be this. He gives this is your inheritance. And then it doesn't happen all at once. And you're like, God, what's happening? What's wrong? But God says, I'm going to give it to you little by little. Because you can only handle this much. So God wants to give us strength so we can handle the inheritance that he's giving us. Secondly, we need strength for the urgency of our lives. The fact that God calls us not to live just normal lives. We need strength to live supernatural lives. You know, God hasn't called us just to survive as Christians, to survive through this life, to get to heaven. And then we got to the gates and we're like all, you know, just made it, you know, just, you know, I'm on my knees at the gates, I'm just in heaven. No, he wants us to be victorious. He wants us to live supernatural lives. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith. But then it goes on, it says, those who draw back, my soul has no delight in him. One of those very scary scriptures. Those who draw back, my soul has no delight in him. So God wants us not to draw back, but you can only go forward if you've got strength to go forward. You know? And God takes delight when you and I are strengthened in him. I love it. I love the saying, David. And Matthew was talking about David. It says at a stage, he says, David was exhausted. He was fighting battle after battle and war after war. Then it says he went to a quiet place and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he went back. He strengthened himself in God. He was able to do more than he was able to do in the natural because he took on God's strength, not his own strength. But the just shall live by faith. We cannot get to where God wants us without the faith that he's given us. And every one of us has faith. It's just about utilizing and using the faith that God has given us. Then thirdly, we need strength for holiness. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, because we are in this world and we're fighting for God. We're fighting to claim back the ground that the enemy has taken. He's not going to sit down and sit back and just let us do it. But he's actively, constantly trying to stop us. And he does it in two ways. He tries to tempt us into other things. Like Jesus. Jesus goes into the desert. He says, listen, I'm going to promise. I'm going to give you this if you bow down to me. I'm going to give you fame instantly. He tempts Jesus. He tries to convince him out of it because he knows what's coming, that Jesus is going to save the whole world. So he tries to tempt him out of his inheritance. And the only way that you're going to stop that temptation is, like James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and then eventually he will flee. But you need strength to resist. And who of you know that the more you give into temptation, the harder it becomes to resist? It's like a soldier. Imagine the soldiers back in those times. Imagine you've got all this armor on. If you give into temptation, it's like you're being hit. Your armor's being penetrated. Your armor, you become all the more vulnerable. The more you hit, the more vulnerable you become, the harder it becomes to resist. Right? But fortunately, James 4:7 says, firstly, submit to God. Because if you submit to God, you'll have the strength to be able to resist. So even if you've given in, there's a place where you can come back to God, say, God, give me, you know, I want to submit back to you. I've missed it. I've given into temptation, but I'm coming back. And God is always there to restore us, to strengthen us, to bring us back to Him. So we need strength for holiness. Now, I quickly mentioned, alluded to it just now, but I want to just quickly settle on how do we get robbed from our strength? And there's two things. The one I already mentioned is when we give in to temptation, the enemy robs us of our strength. He weakens us. He eats that armor. Armor becomes vulnerable. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 4 says, the following, we're going to talk quite a bit about Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And those who do that, who walks in the counsel of the wicked, who stands in the way of sinners, who sits in the seat of scoffers, are like chaff that the wind drives away. Right, so it's this picture of you being in the wind and the wind blowing you all over. You've got no substance. There's nothing stopping you. Just going from the one side to the other side. That's what the scripture says is someone that is in the counsel of wickedness, that is open to the influence of sin. But then you're going to see in verse 3, it says, but he who delights in God's word is like a tree planted. The wind can come, it doesn't affect. This tree just stands, and it stands, and it stands. So one of the things is the counsel that we're around and the sin that we've been influenced. The other thing that weakens us is if we have been wounded, if we've been broken in a negative sense, if we've been offended, when we've been wounded in our spirits, that weakens us. So whatever the circumstances are, regardless of whose fault it was, maybe it was your fault, maybe something you did ignorantly, maybe it wasn't you, maybe it was someone else that did it to you, but if you feel weakened, or if you feel wounded, then you'll be weakened. Then God, and especially once again, you know, if it's in your emotions, it's one thing, but if it's in your spirit, it's on such a deeper level. You know, I can share so many stories of how God has in times past, you know, and I would deal with things, but I would deal with things just on an emotional level, but in a deeper place, I'm still wounded. You know, and then God wants to come into those deep places and heal us, restore us there. Because otherwise it affects the way that we go forward. It affects our strength. You know, it affects how we go about life. So those two things. The great news with both is God can forgive us of our iniquities. He can heal us and restore our strength. But that woundedness is almost like a picture of if you take a container and you put water in the container, but there's a little crack in the container, then slowly but surely that water is going to seep out of the crack. That is the picture of being wounded in the spirit. Right? But God wants to come and heal that container. So some of us, maybe you're feeling like, you know, I'm being filled up with God and then suddenly I feel dry again. And I'm being filled up with God. That is a sign that there's a spiritual woundedness that God wants to still heal. But in the deepest part of your being. Right? He wants to strengthen you. And that strength remain in you. Right. So seven steps and then we're done for tonight. Seven things that God uses to strengthen us. Seven ways that God uses to strengthen him. And it's not about the seven keys. Actually, these seven things are just to show you the picture of how God works and he operates. And it's also not the goal to be strengthened. The goal is to be with Jesus. The result is we walk out strong. But that's not even the focus. The focus is just to be with him. Because if you've been with Jesus, you'll know there's nothing greater than being with Jesus. That is the goal. That is the end. Seven ways God uses to strengthen us. And the first one is worship. There's a story of account of a woman that came up to Jesus and she was wounded. But she was wounded in the natural and in the spiritual. She had an issue of blood. And she didn't care of her state. She wasn't like, no, I'm just going to sit around here. It was a whole crowd and Jesus was standing there and she said, no, I'm going to push through the crowd and I'm going to touch Jesus because I know the solution to my problem is in touching Jesus. We know the story, she went, she touched Jesus and it actually says, one of the Gospels, not in Luke 8, but it says that when she touched Jesus, virtue, strength came out of Jesus and healed her. Strength came through Jesus. And Jesus actually at a stage, he turned around and he said, I just felt power leaving me. I felt it. I literally, you know, and the disciples were like, no, but there's so many people around you, you know. How could it? But then Jesus said, no, someone touched me. And this woman came out and she testified of just being healed. But that is a picture of worship. Worship is about touching Jesus, about coming close to him, touching the hem of his garment. Then God strengthens us in that place. Worship is not just something that we do before a message. And it's not just something we do just on Sundays. Worship is at its greatest when we worship in our lives daily. And then we come on Sundays and it's just the climax of our worship of the week. But worship is a position in God. It's a place where we constantly grab out to Jesus. Secondly, God strengthens us through each other. Acts chapter 15 verse 40 says, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Once again, that word grace is the Greek word charis, the divine influence on the heart to be strengthened. So in other words, it says that the people strengthened Paul and Silas in the Lord. Them being together, they commended them into the strength of God. So they were strengthened by just being with each other. And I just said it before the service, we had the conference last week. And this week we had a pastor summit. All the Shofar pastors came together in Franschhoek, which we do yearly. And we came and we spent a week together and we shared it together and there was some teaching and so on. Some showing what's happening in the movement and so on. But I can honestly say I left there being strengthened. Being strengthened through fellowship, through colleagues and people fighting the good fight, coming back and knowing God has got a big plan, you know, and I'm ready for what God wants to do. But strengthened, we get strengthened by each other. That's why we do small groups. That's why we don't just do big services, but we strengthen each other by coming together. So if you haven't been in a small group, join a small group. Make sure that it's a priority in your life. That's a place where we strengthen each other. Then thirdly, we strengthen, and I mentioned this earlier, God strengthens us through his word. Psalm 1 verse 3. Remember we read the other part. He stands in the council of the wicked. And then it says in verse 3, he who delights in God's word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Everyone say, all that he does, he prospers. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want that for yourself? Everything he does, he prospers. Now that is a promise I want for myself. You know, everything you put your hand to, it prospers because you are like a tree firmly planted. You're unmovable. And not just are you unmovable, not just that wind that comes does not affect you, but it says that it yields its fruit. There's fruit that comes from your life. The streams of waters are there to refresh you, but there's fruit that comes from your life that people can eat of. People, not just are you blessed, but the people around you are blessed because of that place. But it starts off with you delights in God's word. It speaks about a relationship with God's word. And three weeks ago, I was sharing about this, the God's word, having a love relationship with God's word. Fourthly, we're almost done. Fourthly, God's divine promise. He strengthens us through his divine promise. Psalm 18 verse 29 says, in your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. God strengthens us in the word that he gives us. So not just the word that we read, but whatever decision you make, whatever direction of life you go into, you need to ask God. Well, you firstly need to ask God. And I loved what Matthew said in the offering. You know, there's these two guys. There's Saul and then there's David. And David, you know, he was always, before he went to battle, he would go to God and he would say, God, show me, you know, should I go out to battle? He inquired of the Lord. You know, and in our lives, we need to have a culture of inquiring of the Lord. But more than just, you know, getting a vision or something, we must have a scripture, a promise, something that you can stand on. Because so often we make decisions in this life, and then we go into that direction, and then all hell breaks loose. And then we're like, oh, God, wrong decision. I made a mistake here. You know, is it really you? But so often, actually, God does that. We go into a direction, and then all hell breaks loose because God actually just wants to test us. Are we standing on his word? Or we're just doing what we feel is the right thing to do. But David inquired of the Lord. But if you've made that decision, all else breaks loose, and you've got a word to stand on, guess what? You're immovable. You know, God keeps you in that storm. He keeps you in that difficult place. But you need the promise of God. God strengthens us in that. Fifthly, planted. Psalm 92 verse 13 says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. That word flourish means to spring forth. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 just now, which says that they will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings like eagles. Now, that word flourish is the same picture. It's a springing forth. It's a shooting forth. It's a being strengthened because of a certain place, a place being planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of their God. So being planted, once again, it's once again that picture of the tree being planted. They will flourish. God strengthens us. He gives us strength if we plant it in his house. The sixth way through God, our God strengthens us, we see in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, this is an account of the Jewish people that fell away from God. They fell into idolatry and sin. And then they came back to God. God rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, or the people rebuilt through God helping them. And then they came together, and Ezra read the word. For so many years, they haven't heard the word of God. So Ezra read the word of God. And then suddenly when they heard the things that they did wrong, they started weeping. They started crying. They started being sad because of how they've, you know, intermarried with pagan wives and how they've sinned and idolatry and all these things. So they were upset, and rightly so. But then Nehemiah comes and he says, don't be dejected or sad. In other words, don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on the wrong. Don't focus on how you've missed it. Shift your eyes and look up to the Lord and see His joy. And that'll be your strength. You know, and that scripture, so often we read it wrong. We see the joy of the Lord. But I believe it's a looking up to God and seeing, God, what is your joy? That is my strength. If I focus, shift my attention from myself and I focus it onto what is your joy, that becomes our strength. So God strengthens us. Not just do we get joy. Isn't that amazing? God gives us joy and doesn't take it away, but we strengthen through it as well. And then finally, God strengthens us through waiting on Him. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. It says, but those who trust in the Lord, other translation says, but those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Once again, that picture. Even though you're tired in the flesh, even though you're tired in your emotions, God gives you a new strength. You mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. So waiting on God is opposed to doing things in your own accord, in your own strength. You know, so often, like I said, you know, there's the two kings in Scripture. There's Saul and there's David. We spoke about David. But Saul, one of the great sins that King Saul committed was they were busy making war with, I think it was the Philistines. And so Samuel was the prophet, and the prophet was the one in God's order that had to do the sacrifice before they went to battle. But then Saul became impatient because the army was coming, and he was beginning to fear. So presumptuously, he took the role of the prophet, and he started doing the offerings, where Samuel was supposed to do that. Then Samuel came, you know, he did it. You know, no, he was upset. And then it says one of the very upsetting words of Scripture. It says God was sorry that he made Saul king, because Saul didn't wait on God. He went ahead by himself, in his own, on his own accord, and in his own strength. He did what he was supposed to allow God to do. So waiting on the Lord, as we wait on the Lord, and it doesn't mean that you just sit back and wait for God. Waiting is not a time thing. It's a place in our heart. Waiting on God. Like I said, David, he went to inquire of the Lord. That's waiting on God. Waiting on God is not sitting back and saying, okay, well, in 2 weeks' time, maybe I'll do something. Now, waiting on God is saying, God, what is your word? What are you saying? What do you want to do? I'm not going to move without you speaking to me. That is waiting on God. And in that place, we get strengthened. So I want us to stand tonight, bring our hearts to God. Band, you can come up. Because we're going to just get actually really practical. I want us to spend some time in worship. This is really a practical word. This is not something I can do for you, because it's not my strength, but it's God's strength that He wants to strengthen you in. So we're going to worship. We're going to say, God, I'm shifting my attention. I'm shifting my focus. I'm waiting on you. Some of you, you're going to have to even come tonight and ask God, God, give me words. I've made a decision, but I never inquired of you. Some of you are standing before a decision. You're going to say, God, what is your word? Give me your word. And it's not maybe going to happen tonight even, but it's going to be a, just the start of that, you need to go and wait on God. Say, God, what is your word for me for this season, for what I need to do next? You know, wait on God. God's going to renew your strength. Some of you are tired. Some of you feel weak. Some of you are wounded. And I'm going to make an invitation that you would just come and recognize that before God and before your spiritual family, saying, God, I need you to mend me. I need you. I'm this container, and I know you're real. I know I experience your reality. I know I feel your life in me, but so quickly I find myself empty again. So quickly I find myself dry again. I love you, and I love your presence. I love your church. I am planted, but I just run dry over and over. And then there's a group that I want to specifically pray for. I sense there's a couple of people, two specific people here. You're not planted. And actually, when I read that scripture of being like the wind, that's actually your experience being the last 2 months. You've been, it's like the wind just took you apart, just blew you all over. It's like you don't feel like you can take surface because you're not planted at the moment. And God says, but listen, I'm not confused. I've come to plant you. And it's not something that you can do. It's not something that I can do. But it's something that God does. He sovereignly takes us and He plants us in His house. And then there's a strength that comes from that. So I want us just to close our eyes. Before we're going to pray for those things, I want us just to all to pray in the Spirit if you can. And the most important invitation I want to make tonight is if you are here and your relationship with God is not right, you don't hear His voice maybe, you don't experience His comfort, since there's someone here specifically, you don't know His comfort, God wants to comfort you. You're trying to be comforted in all ways. You're actually a bit desperate because you're so longing for that comfort. And you know there is such a comfort because you've experienced it in your life before. But at the moment you're running all over. But God says, come to me, I'll comfort you. Someone's been through a very intense experience. It's a relationship, some sort of relationship broke down. There's a break in the relationship, and I just sense God says that He's feeling your pain. So God says He's actually gone through that pain with you. He feels your pain. He says he actually feels it, and because He feels it, He's able to relate with you. There's no one else able to relate with you, but He can relate with you, and He wants you to surrender that pain. Because He wants to put you back together. He wants to fix your heart. He's doing it right now. He's saying, come to me. I want to fix you. I want to put back the parts. Maybe here tonight and you've made a commitment to God before, but you just feel far away from Him. You don't hear His voice. You're actually a bit disorientated. God is saying, come back to me. Is there anyone like that tonight? I want you just to raise your hand very high. Say, God, I'm coming back to you. I'm feeling a bit far from you. I'm not in a good place with you. Or maybe you've never made a public declaration of your faith. I want you to just raise your hand just very high. All you need is just to be honest with where you are in your heart. Jesus already made the invitation by coming to us. He came into this world. He died on the cross with His arms wide open. It's the invitation for us to come. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Just quickly. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Just quickly slip up your hand if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. Lord, for your peace upon your people. I'm going to ask that lady just to come out just now. But as she comes out, I want also, if you hear and you struggle just to be with God, in other words, you're always in this performance, place of performance with God. You struggle just to get quiet with God, and it's not even just about being having quiet times. If you're struggling having quiet times, then you must also respond. But it's about a place in God where you're safe. It's about a place in God that you're able just to be with Him. Some of you, if you have to go and sit quiet and say, God, you feel all uncomfortable. Something's wrong. Something's missing. If that's you, then you need to come, because there's nothing uncomfortable by being with God. He knows you. He knows your heart. He wants you to respond. Thank you for that hand. So if that's you, I want you to come up, out, and come stand here at my right-hand side, your left hand. And say, God, I'm coming. I'm going to be one of your disciples. Because Jesus called his disciples, but then they had to come. Invitation is for you. And no matter how many times you've come to God, just respond to his unction in your heart. I want you to come forward quickly. Say, Lord, I want to be with you. Just come quickly. Then there's another group that if you feel like that container, that woundedness, I want you to come and stand right here in the middle. Say, God, I want you to mend my spirit. I want you to put me together. Then to my far left, if you just feel in a place of you feel this, you need God's strength. You need to yield to His strength. He needs to refill you, refresh you. I want you to come here to my left hand side. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then as the Holy Spirit just unctions you, just come out and stand at the respective places. Facilitators, if you can also come out and just bring some oil. Here's some oil. Father, we thank you for the heart of the Father. The fact that, Lord, you want to be with us. That is the heart of the Father. Lord, and as having a son and having a daughter, Lord, one of the greatest pleasures of my life is spending time with my kids. And Father, that is your heart. You want to spend time with your children. And Father, I pray for every one of us that struggles just to be. I pray for every one of us stuck in a performance mentality, stuck in a tick box Christianity mentality, or maybe just even stuck being distant from God. I pray that Holy Spirit, you would come, bring us comfort. Come and bring us to the heart of the Father. So just quickly come out. We're going to minister. We're going to share. We're going to have some family time, just praying for one another. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you, directs you. Can I ask us, can we just sing a song as we yield to God, as we yield to His strength? Yielding means just to come before God, acknowledging where our strength lies, acknowledging Him as our source.